Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. Hey, if you guys got your Bibles, let's head on over to Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to be at today. And we actually started the Gospel of Luke about a year ago, and we're in chapter 11. So we're like flying through this thing. Yeah, we need to slow it up a little bit. Hey, before we get started, let's open up in prayer and remember to pray over our country and our nation and our friends, our family, people that are sick, people that are going through a difficult time right now with all of this COVID stuff. And I'm really looking forward to this election getting over with one way or another. I don't care. I mean, obviously vote according to how the Lord's laid it on your heart to do it. And as much as it aligns with Scripture, obviously neither candidate is totally biblical in their values or views, but we need to press into the Lord and ask Him for wisdom on who to vote for and make those decisions. And then once we get through November, I believe a lot of this stuff is going to start chilling out, and I'm going to be thankful for that either way. So, but let's open up in prayer, and we're going to get in Luke chapter 11. Father, we love You. Thank You for this time in Your Word this morning. Open our eyes to see, Father. I pray that, Jesus, You're glorified here today. God, I pray that You're glorified in Your church. I pray that You're glorified in this nation, God, that this nation among all nations would stand out as a light. Lord, that the world would be able to look at our nation again and see You in us. How awesome that would be, Lord. It seems like it's such a crazy prayer, but You're the God of the impossible, and so we bring it to You, Lord. Heal our land. We're praying for those who are sick. Heal our friends and family, God, and people we don't know that are struggling. God, give their peace in this virus, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 11. I heard this joke about these two guys that one was betting the other friend of his about Scripture. And he said, man, I'll bet you $20 right now that you couldn't give me the Lord's Prayer for $20. And the guy's like, really? I'll take that bet right now. I'll bet you $20. And he goes, okay, what is it? And the guy goes, twinkle, twinkle, little star. And the other guy, this was the funny part about it, the other guy looked at him, he goes, dang, I didn't know you knew the Lord's Prayer, and he gave him $20. But I was thinking about how like, if I was to ask you this morning, give me the Lord's Prayer, and I'd give you $20 right now, could you do it? Could you even give me part of it for $20? Now, I'll tell you what, I'm in church, and I'm not a gambling man, but you're making me want to be. Because a lot of the people that think about the Lord's Prayer don't get it right. In fact, I was asking a couple fellows in church this morning. I won't say their names, but anyways, I said, give me the Lord's Prayer. Which one of you can give it to me the fastest if I gave you $20? And so guys like, Our Father who art in heaven. And then Mac is like, I think there's something fishy with this. I think it starts out a little different. But what was so funny is that they were both wrong, because neither one of those things had to do anything with the Lord's Prayer. And I think a lot of the time, it was a trick question, but I think a lot of the times when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, no matter how long we've been in church, something we got to remember is that maybe we don't know what the Lord's Prayer is like we thought we knew what the Lord's Prayer is. Because if you said the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those trespass against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And if you said that's the Lord's Prayer, you're wrong. The Lord's Prayer is nowhere there. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. This is the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. And so it's worth revisiting and going back to and saying, okay, well, let's wait a second. Maybe there's some things about this that we've gotten wrong, because if we thought it was the Lord's Prayer, it's not. It's the disciples' prayer. And what we're going to see is that Jesus is going to be teaching them how to pray. It's kind of like FaceTime. You know, the one thing that I hate about FaceTime is that when I'm talking to somebody, how it cuts out in the middle of a conversation, then it comes back in, and then it cuts out, and you lose a connection, and there it's there again, and then there's just like this still frame of the person's face you're talking to. And it's just, I can't stand FaceTime. I hate FaceTime. Anytime somebody FaceTimes me and I see it's a FaceTime, I angle the phone down away from my face. Like, I don't want to do FaceTime. And one of the things about that we can relate to with God is sometimes we lose a connection with God, and we want to know how to connect with God. And so what Jesus is doing is he's going to tell the disciples how to do that and how to do it right. And we're only going to unpack four verses because there's so much in these four verses that Jesus wants to show us this morning about the disciples' prayer and about how to connect with God in a way that's right. There is a right way and a wrong way to connect with God. Sometimes people are like, well, just any way you can connect with God. Well, actually, Jesus is like, no, this is the way, if we're going to connect with God, this is the way that we need to connect with him. And so he starts out after, last week we were talking about Mary and Martha, and we had two sisters. And Martha was the girl that was busy, busy, busy all the time, right? Her schedule was packed. She always had work to do. She was always focusing on everything that wasn't as important as the one thing she should have been focusing on. And a lot of us fall into that, where we're so busy, we don't have time to do what's spending time at the feet of Jesus, right? Her sister, Mary, was always at the feet of Jesus. Whenever we see Mary in the scriptures, every time you see Mary, she's going to the feet of Jesus. And her sister was always upset and uptight and impatient and banging the pots and the pans and tell Miss Thing to get in here and help me. But you know what? When we get frustrated, when we get anxious, when we get impatient, and we're focusing on the business, we're focusing on our families all the time, we're focusing on friends or focusing on our job, whatever, you got to remember, when you get in those seasons where you're getting frustrated and discouraged, get to the feet of Jesus, right? That's what Mary did. She spent that time, and yes, everything was still going on around her. It's been said, when you're dead, that inbox is still going to be full, right? There's always going to be stuff to do. But it doesn't mean it's equally important. What's most important, Jesus said, will not be taken from her. And thank you that we can always spend time with Jesus. I don't care if we end up in jail, if you end up in another country, you can always spend time with Jesus, and that will never be taken from you in a hospital room, jail cell, community. It doesn't matter where you're at. And Jesus said, that's not going to be taken from her. So how are you doing with that? Are you getting your priorities straight? Are you spending time with the Lord? Are you giving him the best of your day, or is everybody else getting the best of you? And that's a sure sign for disaster. We're going to get crazy, angry, and impatient. And so Jesus now, there's this example of what spending time at the feet of Jesus looks like in verse 11 with prayer. Chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Okay, guy. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I liked when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, because they didn't ask him, Lord, teach us yoga, Lord, teach us CrossFit. Hey, can you teach us how to paint those little boats in the bay? You know, those are great. Can you do a class on it? Instead, they did ask the Lord, hey, teach us how to connect with God the Father. If you were to ask Jesus anything to show you, this is what they asked for Jesus to show them. What would you ask Jesus? If you could ask him anything, Lord, show me how to blank. And so what that blank was, connect with the Father. Now, why did they ask Jesus to show them this? Because they saw a pattern with Jesus that there was a result in Jesus' life from him being in prayer. We never see Jesus bitter. We never see Jesus angry, unrighteously. We never see Jesus hopeless, like, oh my me, how am I going to get out of this one? Like, I didn't see this coming. But Jesus was always the encourager. Jesus was always the healer. Jesus was always the to-go guy. Jesus always had a full packed schedule like crazy, and he never lost it. And the reason why is because of that time he spent with the Father, and this is so important. that we get this right about spending time with the Father and that we do spend time with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, we need to make sure that we're spending time in the Father's presence, because this is where everything else is gonna flow. And so in verse 2, it says Jesus is going to tell them how to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, not if you pray, because he's expecting them to connect, start out with this: Father, hallowed be thy name. So Jesus, he expects them to come together in prayer, and he says, when you pray. Now, the interesting thing about that is what Jesus' point is here, is that he wants us to have a connection with the Father when you do it. And I started thinking about a connection with my kids as a father, and how every time my kids call me, whether it's FaceTime or they text me or the phone, how stoked I get to hear from my kids. And there's never been a time that I can think of that my kids would be calling me and I'd see it's Punk. And I'm like, great. And I just go to like voicemail. I don't want to hear from her. Or I don't want to hear from Samantha. Or I don't want to hear from her. I don't want to hear from my kids. I always want to hear from my kids. I always get stoked when my kids are connecting with me. And I'm sure if you got kids, whenever they call, normally, if they're just calling to like see how you're doing, instead of like asking for $15 or can you watch the kids or whatever. But they're just like, hey, how you doing? And so it's like, man, I'm so glad that you called. How you been? What's happening in your life? I guess what I'm saying is that when Jesus starts us out with Father, is that Jesus wants us to have a connection with the Father in prayer, in persistent prayer. Not just when we go out to lunch, not just when life gets crazy, but sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can have a very sporadic, uneven prayer life. And what Jesus is starting out saying, when you pray, meaning you need to be doing it constantly, because there's going to be results that flow from it. But we got to be making a connection with God. And so he says, when you pray, pray our Father. Now, I love the way that Jesus says our Father, because when you look through the Old Testament, you'll never find a prayer where they were praying to God as Father, because they didn't have that type of relationship with God as Father. And so we'll never see a prayer in the Old Testament where that happened. And so that's why Jesus, a couple weeks ago, when he said, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, when he was talking to the disciples, it was that they were seeing the Messiah. They were seeing a new relationship with God. That now, because of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, we can come to God as our Father anytime that we want. And before Christ, they didn't have that relationship. And we're so blessed to have that relationship with the Lord, with the Father today, because of Jesus. And what he wants to make clear is that Jesus, that the Father is not just a friend, that he's our Father. Sometimes people will tell me, Jason, you know, I want you to do me a favor and pray to the big kahuna for me. Or can you throw something up to the big guy? Or, the man upstairs. I don't know if these people are talking about. Big kahuna, man upstairs, the big guy. And you know what they're really saying? I want so bad to know that there's somebody in charge. I want so bad to know that somebody is there that's over everything here. I want to know in my heart that there is a God and that I could turn to him. That's what they're saying when they're saying big kahuna, guy upstairs, whatever. But God's just not a friend. He's our Father. And I started thinking about that video this week, that you might have seen it, where that guy was hiking and that cougar came out and chased him. Did you guys see it? And he was hiking up and that little baby cub came out. It was so cute. It was like the little cub in Lion King. And he's walking, and then that little cub turns around and goes back in the forest. And then here comes this big cougar out of the bush. And for 6 minutes, this guy, how many of you guys, just to raise a hand, saw that? I mean, it was everywhere. This guy was freaking out. And for the longest time, I just thought for sure this guy was going to get devoured. And I started thinking about what the Bible says about God. as our father. The Bible doesn't say that your father is a cougar. It says that he's a lion. And when Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to address God, not just as the big guy upstairs, the big kahuna, the big guy. Address him as your father. Because the way you address God matters. You know, when we address God and we come to God, and I think about how there's so many different attributes of God. And that's why he says, hallowed be your name. It's so important when we come to the Father that we realize who we come to is important. You know, we don't have people today that are like going to Gandhi and they're saying, I need you to be my peace. I need you to be my healer. I need you to be, because there's nobody like that. There's only one like that, and that's God. And that's why Jesus says in the next sentence, he says, and hallowed be your name. Now, that's kind of weird. Whenever I hear that word hallowed, I think of Halloween. I think of like Sleepy Hollow. I think of The Nightmare Before Christmas. I just think of all these crazy Halloween movies, because hallowed just kind of sounds like October. It sounds like fall. What is hallowed be thy name? And why is Jesus praying that God, not you, would make his name hallowed? Well, when he's saying that, Jesus, the word hallow means to be set aside as something totally precious and special. We all got stuff like that in our life that we set aside. For Vicky, it's Dino Bites or Cocoa Puffs. Yeah, this week, when I was coming home late, it was about 7 o'clock, she sent me a text. And she says, I want Dino Bites, and I want almond milk, and something else. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm on my way home, and I pull into Walmart to get her stuff that's so special to her. And I realize I didn't have a mask. It's like 7:30 at night. So I knew she was going to totally understand. And I sent her a text. And I said, hey, listen, you know, I forgot my mask when I came into Newport. And I'm sorry. I'm on my way home. I don't have a mask. I can't get your stuff. You know what the next text was? Don't come home. It was don't. It was just like that. Don't come home. And I knew at that moment it was because I dropped the ball on the Dino Bites. And so what I did was, is I was wearing a sweatshirt with a t-shirt under it. I sat there in the parking lot, got naked, I took off my clothes, and then I put my sweater on, I took the shirt I had under me, and I put it around my face, and I went into the store and I saw Randall. And Randall's like, what are you doing with the shirt on your face? I'm like, Vicky said I couldn't come home unless I brought her Dino Bites, and I am fast. But I was thinking about how separate and special those stinking things are to my wife. And it's really what Jesus is saying about God's name to us. That it needs to be special and separated. Now, why would Jesus ask that we pray that God would make his name hallowed? Well, it's interesting. If you look at Psalm chapter 23, David kind of prayed this prayer where he was praying for God to make his name hallowed in his life. When he said, he guides me along right paths for his namesake. In other words, there's a lot in a name. Character, action, individualism, right? Identification. Like people know you when they say, hey, I'm going over to Dave's. Hey, I'm going over to Jeremy's. Or hey, I'm going over to Scott's or whatever. Your name has an identity, it's got character, it's got action to your name. And one of the things that none of us really care for is when people call us the wrong name, when they're hanging out with us. That really bothers me. When people call me, they're like, hey, Jake, listen, I got this question. Or, hey, Jerry, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this thing. And I'm like, well, you know, it's actually, you're close. I mean, it's Jason. But when people call us the wrong name, we kind of let it go for a little bit because we don't want to embarrass them, right? So they'll call you Jake, or instead of calling you Philip, they'll call you Bill for like 15 minutes, and then you're like, okay, I better set this guy straight. My name's Philip, right? Because it bothers us. Now, when we see hallowed be thy name, what God is doing and what Jesus is saying is that pray that God's name manifests itself in your life according to his character and attributes. Now, it sounded like a lot, but when we seen David, what he did, and he says, he guides me in right paths for his name's sake. When David is making God's name hallowed, what he's saying is, work in me according to your character. God, work in me according to Jehovah Rapha, right? Because we've got these different names for the Lord, which is healer. God, work in me according to Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God, work in me according to your name, Jehovah Shalom, which means God, my peace, Lord, my peace, Lord, my provider, Lord, my healer. So when we look at this, it's more than just saying, coming to God the Father and saying, hallowed be thy name. It's saying, God, I need a healer right now. God, I need you to provide right now. God, I need some peace in my life right now. And what Jesus is saying is when we pray to God to make his name hallowed, we come into his presence according to what he does. And also, too, we want to have respect and honor and reverence for that name, right? I'll tell you what, since I started golfing, I've never heard so many people talk about the Lord in my life as they do out there on that golf course. And it's not good. They swing. Swing out in the woods, and it's like nonstop. You don't ever hear people saying, oh, Buddha, oh, Confucius, or whatever when they mess up. They're always taking the Lord's name in vain. We want to keep the Lord's name holy, special, and we want to have reverence for it. And we want to do what Jesus says, pray that it's hallowed, that he's working in our life according to who he is in our life. And so he says in this next verse, he says, and your kingdom come. And in Matthew, we know it says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what Jesus is saying is that there's a kingdom where a king rules, and that's him. And to be praying for that kingdom to come in our lives, a kingdom where COVID is not ruler. Cancer is not ruler, where sickness, addiction, abortion, teenagers having abortions all over the place, where these things are not part of his kingdom. All these wars, all this stuff that's happening, Jesus is like, forget that. That's not the way it should be. That's not the way it is. And you need to be praying that God comes and he sets his kingdom up on earth as it is in heaven. But more so, not just coming to setting up on earth, but setting it up in your own life, in your own heart, where you lay down your rule, where you lay down your right, and you ask God to come in and take over in your life, every aspect of your life. Sometimes when I talk to people and we're talking about making a decision to give their life to Jesus and to say, hey, listen, total surrender to God, right? It's all or nothing. What did Jesus say? Whoever puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's not worthy for the kingdom of God. He didn't say whoever puts their hand on the plow and gets it wrong or doesn't always get it right or falls along the way. He said somebody who starts and is just always looking back at the old life and the old ways isn't fit for the kingdom of God. And so what we want to do is say, okay, God, I want you to totally rule and reign in my life. That's what he's saying with the kingdom come. Now, let me ask you, do you seriously want God to totally rule you? 100%. Everything. What you see, what you hear, what you do, what you think. Do you want to commit 100%? A problem with that is like people think, man, I don't want to do it because my life is going to change. It's going to be weird. It's going to be boring. And we know that you're boring, right? It's not Jesus. It's going to be us that get it wrong. And I want to tell you that when we totally surrender to God in every area and we have that hard conversation, because if you're honest about it, there's just things in your life you don't want to give up. And that's human nature. And we'll get into that part as we're getting ready to close out with temptation. But we really need to, it begs the question, do I want God to totally reign inside of me and have his way completely? Because we know that we all have our different agendas and we want to do things our way. In fact, instead of praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, what we do is instead of your will be done, we kind of pray it like this, or at least I do. My will be done. I've got a plan. I want you to bless it, right? Is that what it is? I got a plan. I want you to bless it. My will be done. I want my house sold. I want to move to a different location. I want a different job, right? I want my bills taken care of. I want retirement set up. I want to make sure the business is continuing to grow. Here's my will. I've got a plan. Lord, bless it. And that's a prayer that a lot of us have. But I'm going to tell you, you know, the older that we get, one of the things that we realize about I've got a plan, I want you to bless it, my will be done, is that the older that we get, and I know you can say confidently that you know this to be true, the older we get, the more thankful we are he didn't answer a lot of that stuff. How many of you have looked back on your life and you've prayed over something, and the Lord just shut it down completely, and then later on you're like, thank God that it didn't go that way, right? And the older that we get, the more that we see that we're thankful for prayer being answered his way instead of our way. And so, like Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and submit to him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight, right? We may not like it. It may be a hard prayer. But I can honestly tell you, over everything in my life, and Vicky, we do this about three times a week, and I don't know why, it's a habit. But we sit down and we talk to each other and we say, you know what? Before we submitted to God, we were a train wreck. Look at us. Look at our family. Look at the friends we have in our life. Look at where we live. Look at the church. Look at the business. Look at everything. There's no way in the world his plans aren't better than my prayers. But thank God, over a period of time, the older that we get, the more we realize, hey, yeah, your will be done, not my will be done. And so Jesus, he says to ask our Father for things in our life on the daily. He says in verse 3, give us each day our daily bread. Now, when Jesus is saying, ask God for your daily bread on the daily, he's not encouraging like a high-carb diet, you know, Mediterranean diet, a lot of bread, fruits, nor is keto bad or low carb. But what he's saying is, this isn't about bread. This is about what you need personally every day to get through every day. It's just like bread. You know, we eat bread and it provides, it nourishes our body. It gives us life in a way. I mean, you don't eat, you're going to die, right? And so what Jesus is doing is he's using the word bread synonymously with life. And he's saying, when you come to God, your Father, right? You've got a good Father who wants to connect much better in FaceTime. And he wants to provide for you according to his name and his character, because we're praying that hallowed be his name. Act in my life according to your character and attributes. And then we come to the Lord, and then we ask him for our daily bread on whatever it is. You can even circle that word bread and put anything right there. And that's what Jesus is talking about, for you to get through what you got to get through today. And there's all kinds of stuff, spiritual stuff. Do you guys ever get spiritually attacked? Where you want to just quit? Honestly. Where you look at your life and what you're doing and you're thinking, is it worth it? Is this going anywhere? Is this making a difference? Did I make a mistake? And the devil will attack you so spiritually hard that we need to be coming to the Father and saying, hey, listen, I need some spiritual bread. Like, I've got to get up and face this garbage that is very discouraging in my head. I'm doubting my faith in my heart. I don't know where this is going. I don't know why you have me going this way. And you're getting thrashed. That's why the author of Hebrews was saying, don't neglect meeting with each other. We need to stay together because we start getting thrashed in our thinking and spiritually, and we got to get back together, and we got to be praying over each other and loving each other as a church. That's why it's so important. And then also giving up when the Bible says don't give up or grow weary in doing good, because in due season you'll reap a harvest. Why did he say don't give up? Because we want to quit. Spiritually, we get tired. Not just spiritually, but also emotionally. We need some emotional strength bread today. Because sometimes we can feel like, man, my husband doesn't love me. My wife doesn't appreciate me. They don't see everything I do at work. I show up early. I stay late. They don't say nothing. They don't get it. And emotionally, we can get strung out too, because I'm sure you have people in your life that go to you that look for answers sometimes. And they're always got a story, and it's never always good. And they're always bringing you into the middle of something, because maybe it's your family. They're always coming to you with questions. They're always looking to you for help. They're always needing something. Or maybe it's a friend, or maybe it's someone else. Or you're getting pushed and pulled from all these different directions. You get all emotional. And we break down emotionally. My friends don't want to hang out with me. What's wrong? And we get crazy physically. The older we get out of bed, it sounds like Rice Krispies, right? Snap, crackle, pop. Man, you got to be praying, Lord, give me strength to my body today, because he is a healer, right? Jehovah Rapha, that's healer. Man, I get up in the morning, and before I get out of bed, I sit on the side of the bed and I stretch so I won't get hurt. And then I get hurt because I stretch, and I'm just like, forget it. Just, I'm going to get up and break my ankle on the way to the kitchen for coffee. We need to be coming to the Lord on every level, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical. We want to be coming to the Lord all the time. He says, on the daily, for bread. And so then it says, forgive us our sins. Now, this is a big one. I don't know if you noticed or not, but like this week, you guys messed up. I know. And it's not just because somebody told me about you. Jesus told me about you. You messed up. You didn't get it right this week. We all sin. Now, when Jesus wrote this, and you're like, well, yeah, duh. Here's the problem. There was a teaching going around called perfecting sanctification. That's why when 1 John, when he was writing to the agnostics and they were acting like they didn't have sin, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar, the truth isn't in him. Because there's this teaching that if you give your life to Christ and you follow and you're like going after him hard, you're going to be sinless. But that's not the way it works, and you know it, and I do too. But what does work is we sin less, right? We don't become sinless. And so what we do is we come to the Father and we ask him for forgiveness, because it's either there's two types of sins, right? Commission, omission. Just to recap, commission is the stuff we do that we know we shouldn't do. I know I shouldn't tailgate. We know we shouldn't lie. We know we shouldn't be cussing everybody we see that we don't like. But there's all these little white lies, or the cussing, or the tailgating, or whatever that we do anyways. And then there's a sin of omission where we should be doing stuff that we're not doing. I should tell Vicky I'm sorry when I get ornery, like my grandma said, and I don't do it. Or we should be watching the words that come out of our mouth, and we know it before they come out. We should have holy thoughts, But we don't always have the best of thoughts. We don't always have the cleanest of mouth. We don't always tell the truth totally. And so Jesus is like, this is what you can do. If you've messed up, you need to confess it, own up to it, and move on from it. I don't have to hold on to it. I don't got to trip out about it. I don't have to be having guilty conscience over it. The reason why somebody has guilt in their life is because he can't get past it. And this is what Jesus is saying, do to get past it. And then he closes, he says this, and then he says, and not only forgive us, but also forgive, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now this one is huge. Because you know as well as I do, people hurt you. And when people hurt you, it hurts. And the last thing we want to do is forgive somebody who hurts. It doesn't seem right. But what Jesus is saying is we need to forgive those people that have hurt us. Your family's going to hurt you. Family knows how to hurt really good because they really know you. You know, we've got ex relationships where your ex is going to try to thrash your whole life to where you never recover. Maybe some of you guys have experienced some of that. And Jesus is saying we need to be forgiven them. Friends are going to thrash you. I remember I knew these two girls. They were like best friends. They had that little heart that was broken in two. And one girl had the one heart and the other girl had the other heart. You know what I'm talking about? But when they were together, the heart became one. And it was so cute until one of those girls cheated on the other girl's husband. And there's this situation where whether it's family or whether it's friends or whether it's the church, right? We always say there's no kind of hurt like church hurt. Church is going to hurt you at times. Maybe not intentionally, maybe intentionally. People in the church are going to thrash you. Mac was working last week and he was waiting on a table of Christians and they knew he was a pastor. And they were deliberately just spiteful and nasty to him. And there was this huge group. And when it came time for the tip, I think they gave him like a buck or something. And it was just total disrespect. That sucks. Man, the church should be the church. And if you're going to bless anybody, you should be blessing the church. But Jesus says, forgive. Why do we forgive? Well, number one, it's Christ-like. And because whatever anybody's done to us, we've done way more to Jesus. But two, you know what? It resolves the bitterness in our life. You remember that saying that says, oh, having bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies? We don't want to roll like that. And so Jesus is like, hey, let's forgive. That doesn't mean you accept. And I'm going to close right now. I'm sorry. I know I'm going long, but I'm done. Forgiveness doesn't mean, just so we get it straight, it doesn't mean it's the Christian thing to do. Like, I'm with a man who beats me, but I need to stay in the relationship because, you know, it's Christ-like to do it. I need to just forgive it. No, you need to get out, right? You need to bail, call the police, do something. What forgiveness means is that we don't accept the wrong done, but we cancel the debt that's owed to us over it. Now, here's the deal. When somebody hurts you, when somebody hurts me, you know what I want? I want them to pay me for it. Right? But how are they going to pay you? With what kind of money? How do you pay somebody that? How do you do that? You don't. So you know what you do? You try to get out of them payment of a different form, which is make their life hell, which is ruin their reputation, which is never help them, which is not only not help them, but make their life horrible if they ask you for help. And every time we do one of those things, you know what happens? We feel like they're giving us payment. As sick as that is, I know I'm making sense. As sick as it is, it's like you're getting payment from what you're doing. But the only thing that's happening is you're getting more bitter. And so what you do is you say, I don't accept it, but I cancel the debt. There's no debt. You don't owe me anything. And so Jesus, he closes out with this. Come on up, worship team. He says, and lead us not into temptation. And then the other, I believe it's Matthew, says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so when I saw that, and when you see it, there's kind of this thought of, does God lead you into sin? Does God lead you into temptation if Jesus says, pray to God that he leads you not into temptation? But Jesus is not saying that God leads us, that our Father, our loving Father, leads us into temptation. What he is saying is that when we're going into temptation, he'll block it. He'll block it from going any farther. That's why he's saying, pray that you lead us not into temptation. And we all know that temptation is not a sin, right? You can't walk around with your hands over your eyes everywhere you go, bumping into everybody at Fred Meyer or anything you see on TV. You can't walk around like that. Jesus was tempted, and yet he didn't sin. So we want to understand that temptation is just life. That's not sin. It's when we give into the temptation that it becomes sin. But this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation is overtaking you except that which is common to mankind. And the reason why Paul said that was because sometimes when we're getting tempted, we're like, this is crazy abnormal. Nobody's going through this. This is next level. And Paul's like, no, actually it's not. The person next to you is going through it too. And he says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So in other words, as we're closing this out, what Jesus is saying is that when we pray to God, when we're being tempted in this life by what we see or what we think, that when we make that prayer and he's saying, lead us not into temptation, what Jesus is saying is he doesn't lead us into temptation, but he'll block us from it. And so what we need to do from going into the temptation. And so what we need to do is when we're dealing with these issues of temptation is we got to pray, God, show me the way out, because he just got done saying he's going to provide a way out for you. He doesn't lead us into temptation, but he blocks us from taking the next step and going into temptation. Now, as we close this out, would you guys stand with me? We're gonna get ready to close out in this next song of worship and communion. But when it comes to temptation, and maybe, I don't know everybody here today, but or listening online, watching online. But maybe you know somebody that's just, they don't mind falling into temptation. They don't want to give that part of their life up to God because they actually like it. I got a friend like that. I got some crazy friends. And there's a guy, and he's just always going into temptation. He doesn't care anything about it. But you know what? He's lost his wives, been married 3 times. He's lost his kids. He's high all the time. He's going nowhere. And yet he's stoked about falling into these temptations all the time. And I look at it and I think, man, you know, life will preach to you if you just look. And I look at it and I think, man, is it worth it? To have your life so wrecked? No, it's not. And this is somebody's wake-up call to say, hey, listen, if there's been a temptation that you've been messing with and rolling it over, this is your wake-up call to bring it before the Lord, because it's not going to end up good. It never ends up good. It's fool's gold. Or maybe, you know, for some of us too, there's some of us, we've been wanting to come out of temptation and going into it, and we look at other Christians and we're like, man, how did they get sober? Man, how did they overcome this? How did they get through that? How did they stay true? Because some people lie about their sobriety. They lie about how good they're doing. They want to do good because they see other people doing well and they want it for themselves. And they're like, how do I do it? How do I get there? This is how. Those people went continually, like Jesus said, to their Father on the daily for their need. And if you're here this morning and you're wanting to know the secret, that's it. Every single day. What did Paul just get done saying? If any of you think you stand, take heed, lest you shall fall. Meaning you think you can, okay, come to the Lord, and then you got this. You know, you got a couple years under your belt, whatever, forget that. You better wake up in the morning and get some bread that day. And for others, you know what? Maybe you've given in to the temptation and you're just like, man, your heart's broken. You're disappointed. You're disgusted. You're upset with yourself. The Lord says this, whoever comes to him, he'll in no way cast out. And that this could be a new day of forgiveness and life. And you don't have to carry it. Remember that. The Lord doesn't lead us into temptation. He blocks us from taking the next step into it. Where do you need the Lord to block up for you today? Father, we just come to you in your name and we pray that you give us the strength that we need for the day. You're our Father. You're our Heavenly Father. We can call you Father, Abba. Lord, you care for us. You provide for us. You heal us. You give us peace. It all comes from you because you're our Father, our good Father. Hallowed be thy name. Work in us today, God, according to your character and attributes. Work in us tomorrow. Work in us forever, Lord, according to your will, your nature, who you are. Hallowed be thy name. Work in us, Lord, as David said. He guides me in paths that are right for his name's sake. God, because of your name's sake, to demonstrate yourself powerful in us, do it according to your name, Lord. Lord, and we ask that you just give us what we need on the daily. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins as we forgive all those who sinned against us. We're not accepting it, what they've done, whoever's done it, but we're canceling their debt against us. They owe us nothing. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness for us and your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.